You know, I feel like I haven't been up here for like a month. I need to thank everybody for all the texts, all the calls. I appreciate it. It's been a wild couple weeks over at our house, and I appreciate everything. Pastor Ryan is gone this morning out at speaking at a celebration, and so huge thank you to him, and I hope you appreciated him being here and filling in. And because I did to him what I haven't done to him since he started here, basically messaged him on Sunday morning and said, good luck. I got nothing. Please go take care of it. So I appreciate everything. Thank you so much. And it is so good to be back. So we're going to be where we were supposed to be 2 weeks ago. We're going to be talking for the next few weeks about money. And not just about money, but we're not going to talk just about it. We're going to let money do the talking. Because if you've ever thought about what would money say if money talked, it might be a lot of things that sound like a lot of common sense. It might be things that we know we should do, we know we should listen to, we know we should be doing with our money. It might be some really sensible things that you and I don't think about very often, but occasionally it's good to stop and think about finances. Do you know that Jesus said more about money than heaven? Okay, and that's not because he was trying to get everybody's money, okay? He was not a televangelist saying, I got to get everybody's money, okay? That's not why Jesus talked about money. Jesus did not talk about money because he looked at the crowd and said, I need more of it, okay? You guys, I all got to give me your money, okay? It was because he didn't want money to have people, okay? He didn't want it to own people. He didn't want it to control people. And he saw this thing that should have been a gift, this thing that should have been a huge help and a huge part of people, saw it controlling them. And so you will find, if you've ever read the Gospels, gosh, Jesus has a lot to say about money. I mean, a lot to say about money. And when you start comparing it, it's like, oh, he said more about money than heaven. Probably important, okay? Probably something we should think about. Probably something we should take a few moments and reflect about and think about. And so for the next few weeks, we just want to talk about some things that Jesus thought were important when he talked about money. So what do you do with your extra money? Now, some of you are already going to laugh. Extra, okay? And have you seen gas prices? If you've been out of it so long, you haven't even seen gas prices, okay? Extra, there's no such thing as extra money. There really is. If you and I would stop and think about it, okay, we do have extra money, okay? We are able to go on vacations, okay? We are able to do things. Some of you went to Starbucks this morning, okay? So there is a sense that we do have some extra, okay? It might be less extra than you used to have, okay? But we do have extra. We do have extra money that's available to us that we use for our own discretion, that we don't have to make sure every penny goes to making certain things happen. We do have some extra. What do you do with that? See, greed, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, greed is the assumption it's all for me. It's all for my consumption. It's all for me to consume, okay? So we have a great place to think about this. Last year, okay, probably everybody in the room was sent a check, okay? Or that was automatically deposited in your account by the government as a, right, for during the pandemic. What'd you do with that? Did you look and say, wow, this is awesome. This is all for me. I've been waiting to get something. I'm going to go buy it, okay? When you saw that money, when you got that check, when you got that notification that money went into your account, what was the assumption you made? Because most of us just think, well, that's all for me. Hey, what are we going to do with this? And maybe you had a conversation. Maybe you said, forget about it. There's no talk. I'm going to get the boat, okay? I'm going to get it, okay? Forget the discussion. I've been waiting for this. And if the government thinks I need a boat, I'm going to go get a boat. So whatever that was, most of us thought, oh, that's for me. That's for our consumption. That's for something that we want to do. And that's what happens with greed. It's just the assumption that everything I have and everything that comes to me is for me to consume, for me to decide to spend with, for me to do something with, for me, for my family, for us. Okay? So, the assumption that every dollar that comes to you is meant for you to save or spend on you. That's the assumption you're making. And if you think about it, most of us made that assumption last year when those checks came. That's what we assumed. This is money for me to save or to spend on me. Okay? So I want you to know that Jesus did talk about greed. And we're going to look at a story that Jesus told after being asked a question. That's where we're going to be this morning. That Jesus is going to be asked a question, and he's going to use this to say, oh, I see what's happening here. You think everything that comes to you is for you to consume. But I want you to think differently about what comes to you. So if you have your Bibles, this is Luke chapter 12. This is one of the things that Luke records for us. If you do not know Luke's story is amazing. Luke was not a follower of Jesus, but then came to Christ through Paul and began to hang out with Paul. He was a medical doctor, okay, so you think Dr. Luke, but he was also an historian. He loved recording, loved writing things down, and so we get two books of the Bible from Luke's writings, okay? And that is the Gospel of Luke, where we'll be today, and the other one is the book of Acts. Acts is Luke recording for us so that we would know years and years later the history of the early church. So here we get the Gospels, and here we know that Luke, okay, because he wasn't around when Jesus was, okay? He wasn't following Jesus. He didn't know Jesus. He talked to people who were there. So everything Luke records for us are eyewitness testimonies of what they heard. And somebody was there that day. That day that somebody approached Jesus to ask him a question, and Jesus used it to talk about this thing called greed, this assumption that everything that comes to me is for me to consume, for me to use. Okay? Then someone from the crowd, here we go, we're going to jump in, said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Okay? We've got to stop for a moment. This is not like what we do, okay? Where someone in your family dies and you go to a reading of the will and here's the things that you get, okay? And you get a car and you get a house and you get this and you get that. This is not what they're talking about, okay? There was none of this in Jesus' day, okay? In Jesus' day, if you are the oldest in your family, okay, and just because of the culture, the oldest male, you get everything, okay? That's the way it works, and then it would go on partial down after that, okay? But you would get the most, okay? So I got to ask this morning, how many of you, and online you can put in the comments as well, how many of you are the oldest sibling, okay? You're the oldest child in your family, okay? Okay, and my hand's not up because I am. My sister's not here, okay? So, yes, if your hand was up, you get everything. Aren't you awesome? And everybody else like me, you just like get nothing, right? You get very little, okay? I'm with you. I'm with you. But that's the way it was, okay? Now, it is not that way anymore, but that's the way it was. So you got to understand, this is a younger brother. This is a younger brother who found out, dad died and I got nothing, okay? And older brother got everything. I'm going to go to Jesus. Jesus, you must care about this, okay? This unfair system where my older brother, and he's awful and terrible, right? He gets everything. This is terrible. Why? Okay? And he wants Jesus to step in and do something about this, okay? But this is a system that they've used for literally thousands of years, okay? Was the system they used. So look what Jesus does, okay? Because this guy's obviously, I got no money, it's not fair, it's not right. Jesus, step in and do something, okay? But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator between you two?" Why? In other words, why are you asking me? Okay? I'm here to teach God's word. I'm here to lead you, okay, to the Heavenly Father. Why are you asking me about money? Why are you wanting me to step in and be the judge and the arbitrator and kind of settle this thing? And then he said to them, okay, because now he's going to turn because The whole crowd heard this question. So now this is an opportunity for Jesus to speak into what's really going on here. So he said to them, watch out. Guard yourself from all types of greed. There's lots of different types, all types. Guard yourself, watch out, look out. Because one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Okay? Now, we would look and go, wait a minute, Jesus, you ever heard the American dream? Okay? Absolutely, it consists of our what we have. Okay? Absolutely, we would say, what? That it consists of the abundance of our possessions. Okay? And how much we have determines how well we are doing. And so our objection to Jesus, if you've ever read this, is wait a minute. Isn't this what we were told the American dream is, to get more and to get better and to dream about something? In fact, could I ask you a question this morning? Okay, one day I will own a fill in the blank. Again, if we could sit down and have coffee, what would the blank be? Okay, what would it be? One day I will own a boat, vacation house. Since I'm up here and I have the mic, I get to go first, okay? But I want you to think about that. One day I will own a... For some of you, like, I'm going to get out of the apartment. I'm going to have a house. It's over. Okay, I'm sick of renting. What would it? Okay? So you know how materialistic your pastor is at times. One day I will own a 65 Mustang convertible. Just will. I'm just telling you. Okay? Yes, it might be full of rust. Okay? I have yet to convince Jill that this is a good idea. Okay, I have yet to convince her this is great. She looks at me and goes, can we take it on trips? Are you going to drive it around town? No, okay, that's not what it's for, okay? So I have yet to convince her. Who knows if I will someday. Anyway, there's mine. There's mine. There's my line, okay? There's my blank that's filled in. What's your blank? What's your blank? One day I will own a... Because that's what we think. We're always working for the next thing. We're trying to accomplish the next thing. The next thing we want to get, the next thing we want to purchase, the next thing we saw driving past a lot, right? The next thing. That's what we do, okay? And so Jesus is telling us, wait a minute, what if life isn't about that? What if we don't assume it's all for my consumption? So then Jesus does what he does so masterfully. He tells them the parable. He tells them a story. He tells them a story that he's going to get them to understand something in a heavenly way, in a God-centered way that they're not thinking about. And so he would tell these stories. Why? Because they would help the crowd, they would help the people, and then they help us years, right? Thousands of years later, look in and go, oh, that's what he means by that. Okay, so he's going to tell a story. Here we go. The land of a certain rich man produced an abundant crop. Okay, so this guy, huge harvest. Okay, huge crop, massive yields. Okay, acres and acres and acres. Okay, of what he's got. Okay, and this is perfect. It's around harvest time, right? So this huge crop, huge yields, bumper crop, huge deal. Okay. That's what this guy does. So he thought to himself, what should I do? I have nowhere to store my crop. In other words, my barns are too small, okay? My barns are too small. I don't have enough outbuildings, right? I don't have enough storage. What on earth am I going to do, right? Because I got this huge crop and I've got all of this coming in. What am I going to do with all this stuff? And then he said, I'll do this. I got it figured out. I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger ones, okay? So one day he would put in his little blank, what? One day I will own a bigger barn, okay? Not just this barn, but it's going to be a bigger barn because that's what he thought of. This abundant crop, everything that came in, this is all for me, and I don't even have enough space to store it, okay? Doesn't this sound like the American dream, right? We don't have enough space, so what do we go do? We go get a storage unit, right? Because we don't have enough space. Our garage is too small, and we haven't convinced, right, to be able to tear down our garage and build a bigger garage, okay? Or we can't. because we're landlocked. So what do? We got to have a storage unit, right? Because we got to have a place to store all our stuff. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to tear down his barns and he's going to build bigger ones. And there he says, I will store all my grain and all my goods. Man, what a plan, right? Just tear it all down, build back bigger, build back better, and put everything I got in these bigger barns, okay? The rich man, it's all for me. Everything that comes to me is all for me. Everything that comes to me is all for me. And this huge crop, this huge abundant crop that I've got coming in, whew, this is all for me. So I've got to tear down stuff and build bigger, bigger, and bigger, and put it all in there and hold it together. And I will say to myself, right, because now I got to have a speech because of everything I've done and how successful I am. Okay, we would just change this nowadays to say, and then I will write my book. Okay, how to be successful, how to build bigger barns, right, how to do it all. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of goods stored up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, celebrate. In other words, I don't think we need to build a bigger barn after this one. I think we got enough to cruise it the rest of our lives. But God said to him, you fool. This is where Jesus takes the story and they're all thinking, yeah, I want to be that guy. I want to be the guy with the bigger barn. I want to be the guy with the bumper crop. I want to be the guy with all the stuff coming in. And then Jesus takes the story and he just turns and says, you know what God thought of him? You fool. What? I mean, God wasn't appreciative of the bigger barns. God wasn't appreciative of all he had. No, he calls him a fool. And he says, what? This very night, your life will be demanded back from you. But who will all you've prepared for yourself? Great question. See, they weren't thinking about that question. The rich man was not thinking about that question. Because he thought, I got lots more years, okay? I got lots more years, more storage, more fun, more everything. That's what he's thinking. I got all this. And God says, what if you don't? Then who's going to get all the stuff? Who's going to get the bigger barn? Who's going to get the bumper crop? Who's going to get all this stuff you have been storing up for yourself? So it is, Jesus says. For the one who stores up riches for himself, but is not rich towards God. And he just flips it. He just flips the whole story and the whole crowd's going, oh, never thought about that. I never thought that instead of building bigger barns and getting bigger crops and getting everything for myself, I actually could do something with what I have. I could actually do something with what's been given. I could actually do something with that and be rich towards God. And it wouldn't just go to a bunch of people arguing at the end of my life who's going to get what. It would actually have made a difference my entire life. So you know what money would say if it could talk? Based on what Jesus has told us here. I can add meaning to your life. But I'm not the meaning of life. I can add to your life, but I'm not what life is all about. The pursuit of me, money would say, is not what life is all about. It's not what it's all about. It's not what you should be putting your whole pursuit in. It's not what you should be trying to get bigger and more to get it all for your consumption. It shouldn't be about any of that. I can add some meaning, but I'm not the meaning of life. And I wonder how many of us just get sucked into this, right? We just get sucked into it. We don't even know it at times, but we just get sucked into this. Oh, if I just had a little bit more, right? If I had a little higher paying job, a little higher level, a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. And we tend to want to pursue that over and over and over again. And all of a sudden, the thing that's just supposed to add to our life, we make it the meaning of life. So here's what I want to leave you with this morning. So you can't be a fully devoted follower of Christ and not invite Jesus where? Into the realm of your personal finances. Can't do it. I know we would like to. We would like to just put everything in separate little compartments. And okay, Jesus, you get my Sunday life, and I show up to church, and I help, and I serve, and I do what I can, and I give. But that's my Sunday life. Now, my Monday through Saturday, Jesus, hands off, okay? I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to live like I want, do like I want, speak like I want, say things I want. And we have these different compartments we just kind of live in. But you can't be a fully devoted follower of Christ, which we want you to be, which Jesus calls us to be, without inviting him into the realm of your personal finances. Because otherwise, you know what's going to happen? We're going to assume that everything that comes to us is for our own consumption. That's what we're going to end up assuming. We're just going to end up making those assumptions. And we're going to go more, and we're going to decide to pursue more, and get more, and have more. And all of a sudden, one day, you're going to recognize, I can't take it with me. What have I done with what's been given to me? That's all I want you to think about this morning. What have you done with what's been given to you? Can we go back to last year? That money that came in, the checks that showed up, the deposit that came into your bank. When you saw that, what did you do with it? What did you do with it? Was it all for your consumption? Or did you actually ask, what might God do with this? If I give part of it, if I give some of it, if I give more of it, if I just do something with it, other than make the assumption, it's all for me to consume. That's what I want you to think about this morning. We already know, because we've already had a run at this, what we've done with something that came in. We either used it, or we just made an assumption, it was all for me, and we did something for ourselves. I want us, over these next few weeks, just to invite Jesus into the realm of our personal finances and just ask him to help us understand money, how we view it, how we think about it, how we talk about it, and see the difference that it could make if we actually think about those things and do those things and invite him in to the realm of our personal finances. And the earlier you start this, the better. Just telling you, the earlier you start this, the better. The older you are, the harder it is to turn and change old habits that you've had in place for so long. Because again, Jesus doesn't care about getting your money. He cares about your money getting a hold of you. And about greed telling you it is all for your consumption. So we're going to pray this morning. We're going to ask Jesus to help us to think about the examples that we've had recently. How have we done? Have we just assumed that everything that came in was for us to save or spend? Or is there another option? It's not all for my consumption. So let's pray, and we're going to worship God one more time this morning. Heavenly Father, I ask you to help us. Greed is very hard to see in the mirror. We will call ourselves good savers. We will call ourselves thrifty. We will make up names. It's very hard to see. Now, it's very easy to see in other people. Very easy to see in others. Their greed. Their assuming that everything's for them. But this is not about everybody else. This is about us. And we need you to help us to see in the mirror very clearly whether greed has actually taken a hold of our hearts. That our assumption has been it's all for me to consume. It's all for me to save. It's all for me to spend. It's all for me. And help us, Father, because we live in a world and a culture and a time where this is just a part of the American dream, that we're always working towards something to get something, to buy something, to have something. Would you help us to see it's not for all for our consumption. And that money can add to our lives, but it is not the meaning of life. Show us where we've been. Reveal to us our hearts that we might walk with you, in step with you, to see what you would do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.